The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-hosts and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. Welcome, everyone, to the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Wiley Harris III, and I am taking the big boy's chair this week as we unpack episode 13. With me, as always, are my co-hosts for this episode, my brothers, Arthur Medina and Remy Echo. Welcome in, my friends.
Welcome.
Let's go ahead and open up episode 13 in prayer. Father, we just come before you once again, thanking you for another opportunity for episode 13 to speak to your people. Lord God, we don't take this opportunity lightly. We always operate under what Scripture says to not handle your word deceitfully. And when we speak to your people, to when we speak this word, we know, Lord God, that we are allowing your spirit to speak through us. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that this word is timely, that will get down into their spirits and produce your nature and your life on the inside of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, in advance of our discourse for this episode, Brother Remy is going to highlight our conversation from the last time we were with you, episode 12. And don't forget, for those that didn't catch that show, or for any of our past, present, and future TSV episodes, you can subscribe to TSV on your chosen platform, or you can refer to our show notes resource of each episode posted on our website, thespokenverity.fm. Brother Remy?
Thank you, brother. So for episode 12 of the Spoken Verity podcast, we examined the concept of faith. We took time to look at what the definition was from the Bible, because the English dictionary calls it a system of religious belief, and we have people trying to be politically correct by calling themselves men or women of faith or faith-based organizations. But we wanted to find out, what does the Bible define faith as? And we looked at Hebrews 11, verse 1, the faith chapter, the faith verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we, in also defining faith, we went further to talk about, why does the Bible say we must live by faith, and how not living by faith is challenging the authority of God, and looking also in Hebrews 11, 6, where it says that it is by faith that we please him. So it's important for us to have faith in our lives as believers. We also rounded up our conversation, considering the times that we're currently living, how can believers contend for the faith? That was the last segment of episode 12, and we went ahead to give some pointers to believers about winning souls for the kingdom, be upholding and demonstrating Christian values by all that we think, say, and do, and also spending time in the verity of the Word of God and praying in the Spirit. So that is a 30,000 feet overview of episode 12. Like Brother Wiley said, get it wherever you get your podcast and dive into it.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that recap. And again, listeners, the time that we spend with Holy Spirit before we bring you this word is invested for you. And so we want you all to go back and listen to that episode and any episode that is posted on our website. So before I get into and initiate our discussion for today, I'm going to speak to a specific error I made in previous episodes. I stated at least once that Scripture says that strife stops the power of God. There is no Scripture in God's Word that specifically states those exact words. As hosts of TSV, we have all rightly stated that we will only speak the Word of God to you, our listeners, and not about the Word of God, which can lead to error. I made an error when representing that statement I made as Scripture. Now, those that may hear this may say, Rev, we know what you meant. But I know in humility that keeping the integrity of my words anchored to the verity of Scripture aligns me with this show's Holy Spirit-inspired message. The proceeding notwithstanding, we do know from James 3:16 that for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That scripture and others lets you know that strife is not from God. So since God isn't the author of strife, he nor his power is present in that setting. And by setting, I mean envying and strife, wherever that may be. So please determine, TSD listeners, to keep strife out of your lives. There will be a future episode on this topic. All right, that being said, let's get into the conversation. Today's episode will be the beginning of a series of shows I host discussing and detailing for our TSV listeners the authority we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We will show you in the Word of God who this authority comes from and how we obtain it, what the authority of the believer actually is, and then how to use it. This conversation, as with all conversations we have at TSV, is inspired by Scripture from Holy Spirit and our unyielding desire to speak the verity that is the Word of God. From the outset of our podcast, we have focused on sharing with you what the Word of God says about certain topics. Discourse, as guided by Holy Spirit, ranging from how a Christian should handle their money to us taking the initial step of laying groundwork for a larger conversation on gender, sexuality, and skin color, and all of our other 10 episodes to date has led us to this space. In order for believers in Jesus Christ to fulfill their earthly purpose, they must understand the authority they have, both in heaven and on earth, through him. Once the believer is clear as to what their authority is, where it comes from, and how to use it, he or she is fully capable of utilizing this authority within their purpose. Considering the fact that we live in a world that is adverse to any authority, whether spiritual or temporal, and the fact that even believers don't understand the authority they have and what it means for their lives and for the lives of those they are connected to, we know that this is a timely word. As I set the stage for our communion today, I want you, our listeners, to understand that the authority we have in Jesus Christ affirms who we are in relation to him in this world. We see in 1 John 4:17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." The beloved Apostle John, while on his imprisoned island of Patmos, is affirming to every believer in Jesus Christ that we are who he is, not will be, right now. Why? Because we have received Jesus Christ as our risen personal Savior, and by virtue of our reborn spirits after receiving, we are just like Jesus. Part of the process of operating in this spiritual authority requires you to believe and then do what is in the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The first part of John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus's life example for us shows us where our authority comes from and how we obtain it, what our authority actually is, and how to use it. At this point, let's jump right into the conversation. Brother Arthur, let's dive in. When you are detailing the authority of a believer in Jesus Christ, talk about our first discussion point. Where does the authority of the believer come from, and how do we obtain it?
Where does it come from, and how do we obtain it? Foremost, I want to start out with the Amplified Version in Matthew 28:18, when Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then in 1 Peter 3:22, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him." Acts 10:36, "He has sent this message to the people of Israel, proclaiming the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Philippians 2:9, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names.
Amen.
Colossians 2:10, and you have been made complete in Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers can separate us from the love of Christ. And in Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, that being Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Come on with it.
Amen.
And that's what I want to answer the question with, is that because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit convicted me of where I was at in my life. And as a result of that, I reached out and cried out to God. Upon repenting of my sins, God has come into my life and has transformed me, has renewed my mind. So because of my relationship and position in Christ, that means that that is how I can answer that question that you're asking. That is where our authority comes from and how we obtain it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Arthur. I like what you did there. You immersed us with scripture in terms of how and where our authority comes from. And as you rightly stated, it comes from relationship and the receiving of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are talking about where the authority of the believer comes from and how we obtain it. Brother Remy, get on the mic here and further the conversation by your Holy Spirit-directed response. Where does the authority of the believer come from and how do we obtain it?
Thank you, brother. So the long and short of it is our authority comes from God and we obtain it by faith and submission. But let's delve a little bit more into that, right, by looking at some scripture passages. Brothers and sisters, let's go all the way back to the beginning. Let's go to Genesis 1, 26 to 28, reading from the King James Version. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, most theologians call that the dominion covenant, right? So our authority as given to us in the beginning is a commission from God, allowing us to be co-creators with him on the earth, to govern and steward his world for him. We see this again in the songs of the psalmist, King David, first in Psalm 8, verse 6, where he says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all the things under his feet. And then again in Psalms 115, verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Of course, we all know what transpired in the garden, but even at that, God didn't have a clause in his initial declaration that if you do this, if you are tempted and do that, I will pull this authority. So his declaration in Genesis 1:26 still stood. Even after man fell to temptation and left Eden, he still had authority.
Amen.
And some of that had been given to Lucifer. Now, if this is a movie, right, this is where we will have this bad guy running all over the city and creating havoc, and we have this crescendo, and we have this dramatic music, and Jesus enters the scene. Like, right? So here comes Jesus to restore the relationship with the Father, to redeem us from sin and evil, and to reclaim all authority that Lucifer stole at the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And when he had completed this mission, my brother Otto touched on this, he declared in his final words, as recorded in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
Done. Right? So let's quickly touch on the second part of that. How do we obtain this? So there is a difference between power and authority. Well, power is the ability to do something that we receive by the Holy Spirit, while authority is the right to do that. Another way to describe this could be delegated power. As I initially stated in my long and short answer to this question, we obtain this right or this authority through faith and submission. But in delving below the surface of that answer to my question, Brother Wally, I would say the word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we obtain our authority by being deeply rooted in the knowledge of God through his word. Throughout his life, Jesus modeled how his own power and authority flowed from his intimate relationship with God, as Brother Otto so eloquently stated. His relationship with God as his Father was modeled before his disciples with how he stepped out several times early in the morning to go pray. Even when he got to Lazarus' grave, he said that they had talked about this, but nowhere in the Bible before up to that point you heard, oh, Christ talked to the Father about Lazarus. So it just depicts the picture that there is an ongoing relationship. Then there's the other part of this, which I talked about, this submission piece, right? And we can see a clear example of this in Matthew 8, verse 8, the story of the centurion, which could be summed up as this: because I am under authority, I have authority. That is exactly what the man said, right? And it's pretty much because I do what I'm told to do, I'm able to tell others to do what I tell them to do. So authority is received because I am in submission to authority. So we could actually wrap that question up to say, it is all up to faith, because I receive authority by faith. And even when I submit to authority, it is by faith. Amen.
Amen. Both my brothers are on it this morning. And I know we like to talk about how we're in each other's notes. That's happening here to a certain extent. What I find fascinating is that in this sense, you have stuck with Old Testament scripture to validate the authority that we have and how we obtain it. And you also touched on the difference between authority and power, which I'm going to explore here in a minute. So we're talking about, where does the authority of the believer come from and how we obtain it? So we have all rightly established that our authority comes from our belief in Jesus Christ. We must also allow the word of God, by the renewing of our minds, to be the final authority concerning our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We must abide in Jesus. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we also receive the Holy Spirit, which is where our spiritual power comes from, as Brother Remy stated. There is a difference between authority and power, and Brother Remy also touched on this. Most people, believers and unbelievers alike, think they are synonymous, but they're not. Spiritual authority, as given by God to believers in his Son, is the right and privilege to exercise dominion over things in heaven and on earth. Spiritual power, as given by Holy Spirit, is the ability to exercise the dominion you have in the name of Jesus in heaven and on earth. Jesus was given his authority in the flesh from God our Father. We were given our authority by Jesus. There are several verses of scripture that proclaim this verity, specifically concerning our obtaining of this authority. However, I want to focus on two sets of scriptures respectively that affirms the fact that Jesus was given his authority from God our Father, and that the authority we have comes from Jesus Christ. John 17:1-2 in the King James. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him all power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. in John 3:35 in the King James. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now, both of you all have touched on Matthew 28:18. There's a couple of other verses below that I want to touch on as well. We read in those three verses about Jesus giving authority to his believing disciples and also reinforcing our mission on the earth before he ascended into heaven. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And here's another set of scriptures of Jesus giving authority to those that believe. Luke 10:19-20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The word power is used twice in verse 19, although the first power is translated in the original Greek authority. So behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In verse 20, we see that demonic spirits are subject to us when we are operating in our power and our authority. Earlier, as I followed my brothers in answering this question, I stated that Jesus was given his authority in the flesh from God our Father. The reason I made the distinction is because God the Son came in the flesh as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God the Son has all authority as God. Jesus, as the Son of God, was given this authority by God our Father when he came into the flesh in the form of a servant. Scripture for that is found in Philippians 2:5-11. And I am going to read all of those verses because, again, as this being a series on the authority of the believer, we're building the message through what Holy Spirit is speaking through us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. We have that same authority as we read from scripture earlier in 1 John 4:17. The obtaining of that authority comes from belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Brothers, before we transition to the next question, do y'all have anything further?
I just want to echo what you said earlier about Remy and how, because all I did was use all New Testament when I answered your question. And I found it just as pretty cool how he complimented everything I said using the Old Testament.
Amen. So
that was pretty cool. And then you just kind of helped sew it all together. That was pretty cool.
It's the great part about scripture.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what happened in Genesis is happening in Revelation, and there's no devil in hell. There's no devil on this earth that can stop it.
Come on.
Brother Remy, you have anything to add before we move on?
No, brother. That was impactful.
Amen. Scripture establishes that our authority comes from our belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus' authority came from God our Father. That answers the first question in our communion for today. Brother Remy, let's turn our attention to what actually is the authority of a believer in Jesus Christ for this next segment.
What is the believer's authority? The simple answer, the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to Ephesians 1 and reading from chapter 1, of course, reading from the 19th verse, New King James Version. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So I'll stop right there. But if we go back to 19, asking of the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So why did I answer the question as the word of God? We know that without the having a knowledge of the word of God, we can be rendered powerless. So it's one thing to have the authority, but also to be able to use it is going back to the word of God. And another place I want to pick this up from is Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tempts Christ. So I'll start from the fourth verse, right? Or let me just start from the very first verse, because it's the entire thing. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after he was hungry, now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he, being Christ, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Strike one. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Now this imp, Lucifer, of course, he knows the Bible. So he's throwing that back in the face of Christ, like, oh, well, it's also written, right? And then Jesus responds in verse 7, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Strike 2. Verse 8, "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I'll give if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall serve the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Strike 3. "And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." So that's the entire premise of me basing it on the believer's authority is the word of God. Because I look at Christ, my risen Lord and Savior, when he was tempted, he went back to the word of God 3 times. That's my response.
Amen. Amen. And as you stated there, the word of God, but what did Jesus do while he was on that mountain? He was speaking the word. He was telling him what was written already, yes, knowing that the enemy knew that. And as you stated again, rightly, the enemy knows the word of God. Unfortunately, he knows more than a lot of believers. But the problem for him is that it gives him no bearing in this world because he can't use it as a fallen spirit. He has no ability to access the authority that we have,
yes,
as believers. We are talking about what is the authority of a believer in Jesus Christ. Brother Arthur, please come in and answer that question for us. What is the authority of a believer in Jesus Christ?
Well, the way I would best answer the question as the Holy Spirit gave it to me, I'm just going to take it a step further from what Remy answered. And I'll take us to, again, using the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 5:20. "So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us." "We, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God."
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3:6, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And then Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read it for context, and I'm going to really kind of hone in on 17, but we'll start in verse 15.
Okay.
"The gracious gift is not like the offense. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. The gift is not like that which come through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one offense, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many offenses, resulting in justification. Verse 17, for if by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So the way I want to answer the question is that we understand our authority is based on the word, but here's the problem that the church seems to have. We want to hear the word, but we don't want to act on it.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to quote these verses, but not really apply them to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I want to really hone in on verse 17. If you're struggling right now, understand you can reign in life. Got to catch that. Reign in life.
Mm-hmm.
What is reign? R-E-I-G-N. I'm talking about reign in life. R-E-I-G-N. So important to catch that. So that whatever circumstance or situation you find yourself in, you have to know that because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, because he has defeated death and he rose again on the third day, which is the difference between all the other, you know, people who have different beliefs. If you ask them, where is the prophet Muhammad? You will find him in his grave still. But if you look for Jesus, he's not there. He has Amen. Risen from the dead. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And
Amen.
That in and of itself has given us that authority and that power, as Remy has so eloquently shared with us to understand this morning or this afternoon or evening, whatever time zone you're in, it's applicable to you. No matter where you're at in this world, whether you're on the other side in China, Russia, it doesn't matter. Remember, you can reign in life. That's how I answer your question.
Amen, brother. Both of your answers were substantial, and the unpacking of the authority of a believer is coming from different perspectives, but it's all based upon the word of God. And yes, because of what Jesus Christ did, we have not just eternal life, which is the ultimate, but we also have authority while we're here on the earth, both in heaven and on earth. And so as I opened this episode, I spoke about how we as believers are just like Jesus Christ, as spoken by Holy Spirit through the Apostle John and 1 John 4:17. To most believers who don't know who they are, that sounds like lunacy. They look at their natural bodies they live in and focus on their natural inclinations as indicators of their character. Instead, a believer, regardless of where they are in their understanding of this, must recognize that when we were created, we were made in the image of God. Brother Remy touched on this a little bit in Genesis, when God said, "Let us make man in our image." Receiving Jesus Christ changed our spirits and made us new creatures in him. That Christ-likeness also connects us to the authority we have as a believer. The utility of that authority rests in the one that bequeaths and backs that given, delegated authority, God our Father. Remy touched on this as well a little bit, that this authority is delegated. And I'm going to jump into this a little bit more and detail this for our listeners. As with the first segment, there are several scriptures for this segment that talk about what the authority of the believer actually is. But I just want to highlight two scriptures for this portion of our discussion. Matthew 18:18-19 in the King James. "For verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." Verse 18 presents the authority we have from Jesus as the delegated ability to bind and loose in heaven and on earth. So whatever we bind or loose in heaven and on earth in the name of Jesus must be bound or loosed. Verse 19 demonstrates what our authority allows us to do in communion with others on the earth and the favorable outcome of that communion in heaven. Now, at this point, or maybe at some other earlier point in our conversation, we may have lost you. You may be staggering at this authority you have because of unbelief. You may say, well, how do I know what to bind and what to loose? Since the authority you have only has value because it's backed by God, the wise steward over this delegated authority goes to the one who backs it for direction. This is the one place where our relationship with Holy Spirit comes to bear, and also his sovereignty. Just because you have this authority to bind and loose doesn't mean you can use it as you see fit. You are not the owner of this authority, but a steward, just like the life you live. Scripture says in James 4:3 in the King James, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. God will not back your delegated authority concerning what you ask for so that you can use it outside of his will. In the fear of God, you wouldn't intentionally make that attempt anyway, knowing it to be unfruitful. There are times, however, when we are prideful in our approach and make attempts at things using the name of Jesus that aren't purpose for us, that aren't good for us. In those instances, and in all instances of our lives, just know that God has already determined the outcome. Scripture says in Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Walking uprightly here is to abide in him, as we discussed earlier. Because of that, the good thing we ask for isn't withheld. When we as believers are abiding in Jesus Christ and seeking his direction for our lives, we will know exactly what our authority is, and then we will know how to use it, which is the perfect segue into our final segment. Before we do that, anything additional to contribute here, my brothers?
No, sir.
No, brother. We're good.
As we transition into the last segment of our time together, let's quickly recap. We have discussed where the authority of the believer comes from and how to obtain it, which we know comes from Jesus Christ and our belief in him. We also answered the question of what your authority as a believer actually is, which is, at a high level, the delegated power given to you to bind and loose in heaven and on earth as directed by Holy Spirit, and to use what he has equipped you to do to fulfill his purpose for your life. So now for our final discussion point, we will discourse how we use that authority. Let's bring Brother Arthur back in as he tells us how we as believers use the authority we have in Jesus Christ.
For me, I think that one of the most important things for us to use, if you will, or at least what helps me personally, is my go-to verse. You know, those moments in time when you face severe warfare, those times when you're just feeling a certain way, when the enemy's whispering thoughts into your mind. And so for me, 138:8 has always been very special to me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me.
Mm.
That's where I go to. And then also Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Amen.
You know, but sometimes we venture off. I've said before in a previous segment how some of us have different types of faith. That's how I call it, and choose to term it. I'm the Abrahamic faith. You know, like Abraham was called, hey, look, pack it up, go. Don't know where you're going, but don't worry about that. I'm going to get you there and guide you. And that's how I am. And then some have Mosaic faith, where there's specific, you know, tasks that God asks you to do, and you do it. So either way, at the end of the day, you'll see that both cried out to God, both sought God, both diligently sought his face. And that's what we got to do in those crunch time moments. Even when we fumble the ball, you got to go back and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to please you. And always remember, the Lord will accomplish what concerns you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that, my friend. When you say that, when you're using your authority, you mentioned Abraham and Moses, they went back to the one that gave it to them. And so that's part of how you use it. And as we discuss this and talk about this further, we're talking about how we use the authority we have in Jesus Christ. Brother Remy, come back in here for us and bring your Holy Spirit inspired response to this question and tell us how we as believers are commanded to use the authority we have in Jesus Christ.
Great question, Brother Wally. How do we use our authority as detailed in Scripture? There are a lot of Scripture that we can go to pull and answer this question, but I'm going to touch on only three. The first one is we use our authority to resist the devil. I'm going to go to James chapter 4, verse 7 in the New King James Version, where it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So how do we use our authority as detailed in Scripture? One, we use our authority to resist the devil. And this is why, in my answer to your opening question, I talked about submission being a process through which we obtain that authority. So here in James 4, 7, the Bible says, submit to God, then you resist the devil, right? And he will flee, just like he did when he tempted Christ in the wilderness, as we read in Matthew chapter 4. So that's one. Two, you touched on this earlier in one of your segments, Brother Wally. We use our authority to stop the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Right? And then finally, as far as I know, the third part of this would be we use our authority to witness to unbelievers, to baptize them and to teach them. We all kind of touch this verse, Matthew 28, where Christ talked about him being given all authority in heaven and on earth. And then he went further to say, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Great answer, brother. You know, you've brought in something here that's brought a little bit more clarity to the conversation in terms of how we use our authority. We've been talking about how this authority is delegated. You have to submit. And as you mentioned in that scripture about submitting yourself to God first, that's the prerequisite before you can resist, before you can use your authority that you've been given by Jesus Christ in order for that to manifest in your life or in whomever's life that is exercising this authority as a believer. So we've been talking about how we use the authority we have in Jesus Christ in this final segment. And so when we fully understand that the authority we have comes from God through Jesus Christ, that delegation enables us to stand and speak against all the works of the enemy. And as I mentioned earlier, we're building here. This is not every single scripture that is in the word that talks about what the authority of the believer is. We are highlighting scriptures in this first episode of the series that the Holy Spirit has authorized us to speak. We do this using the name of Jesus, this meaning standing against and speaking against all the works of the enemy. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, in part to demonstrate the authority and power we have as believers in him and how to use it. Let's look at some scripture here. Earlier, I quoted Philippians 2, 5 through 11, to affirm Jesus Christ receiving his authority in the flesh from God the Father. I want to focus on Philippians 2, 9 through 11 to answer this question. And again, I really highlighted in the flesh because that's where we get our authority from, in the flesh. So it's very important that we recognize where we receive it from. And then when we speak in the name of Jesus, every demonic force, every demonic principality has to answer to that name. Not the name of Arthur, not the name of Remy, not the name of Wiley, the name of Jesus. So Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We use our authority by speaking what Jesus said in his word, in his name, against the forces of the enemy. Notice I said we must speak. This is not something that you mentally assent to. This is something that you have to speak out of your mouth. To use your authority, you have to speak. We must speak what Jesus said in his name for our delegated authority to be backed by God. Notice I said we have authority over the enemy and his ilk, demonic forces, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't have authority over people in the sense that we attempt to lord over them, to control them. Our delegated authority does not give us power over flesh and blood, but is to be used when laying hands on people to cast out a demonic spirit or to lay hands on the sick for their recovery. Let's go back to scripture to sustain my assertion against any who don't believe that. I quoted Luke 10:19 earlier when discussing where believers receive their authority from, and that scripture also applies to this question of how you use your authority. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, as a reassertion here. We see here that authority is given to use against threats of danger and over the power of the enemy himself, or the demonic spirits behind those the enemy sends against the believer. We also see in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that our authority is used in spiritual warfare. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:12 shows us where our authority has power. Remember, listeners, you have authority over the power of the enemy. But if you are attempting to use your authority you have against people, you are not operating according to scripture. You are not directing your delegated authority as prescribed in the word of God. So Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mark 16:17 through 18 details for us places where our authority in the name of Jesus works for those that believe. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is yet another area where our authority works. As believers, we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The authority that we have in the name of Jesus gives us the power over the works of the enemy. How are we using that authority, listeners? When we see injustice, prejudice, inequality, or any of the many ills in this natural world, are we using natural means to fight against it, or are we using our authority to bind the demonic spirits using those people that are facilitating these ills? Are we focusing our efforts in places where we don't have authority, specifically to control people? For us to be effective stewards over this authority, we must also use it as our God directs. Anything else to add, brothers, before we close out episode 13?
No, sir.
Yeah, bro. That was just great. I just want to reiterate and emphasize that piece where you talked about it being spoken, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like the situation of a truck driver and a cop. right? The cop can stand in front of the truck without exercising his authority by maybe, you know, asking the truck to stop or by turning on his siren. He could get run over, right? Because, hey, he could be easy like, hey, I didn't see you. I didn't know you were a cop. How will I know you are a cop? By you turning on your siren or by you exercising that authority. So I don't know how much that analogy explained that, but it is that thing to understand that having it is one thing, right? Knowing you have it is another thing. Then speaking it, acting on it. And also, everything we're talking about here in this episode, there is nothing here that says, oh, plead with the demons. It says, cast it out, right? That, so when you understand your authority too, and know that you, even when you're speaking to these things that are beneath you, you don't plead, you don't beg, you cast out, you rebuke by the authority of the name of Jesus. But yeah, that's the little piece I wanted to add.
Amen. Thank you for that, brother. As I mentioned in my opening, this is the first in a series of episodes on the believer's authority. We will discuss a wide range of issues that require the use of our authority and power from Jesus Christ. It is very apparent that we as believers have not used the authority we have properly because, in part, we do not believe what the Word of God says. The body of Christ cannot agree on whether homosexuality is a sin. It cannot agree that abortion in any form is murder and is against God. It cannot agree that gender, sexuality, and skin color is assigned by our sovereign God and that we don't get to choose those designations. It cannot agree that church denominations are divisions and have no root in Scripture. It cannot even agree that the Word of God is inerrant, which has led in part to these disagreements, which are in direct disobedience to God. The body of Christ isn't operating in the fear of God in these areas. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Until we come into the unity of faith, the authority that we have collectively as the body of Christ will not be able to withstand the overall onslaught and persecution of the body by the enemy. However, for those believers who individually believe and continue in and contend for the faith, regardless of what the world or the church may say against them or to them, then they will be what Holy Spirit describes through David in Psalms 1, verse 3. A tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. This is the season. This is the time for believers to operate in their authority, to win souls, to cast out devils, to speak in tongues, to bind and loose in heaven and on earth, to teach all the nations of the world to do what Jesus commanded in his word. It's time for us to walk in our authority that we have been given. And at TSV, we have endeavored to walk in that authority, to speak our authority. And we are thankful that you, our faithful listeners, have made the choice to walk with us in your authority, to speak your authority as a believer. And we will continue to support you in your walk. Amen, brothers.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Arthur, give us a glimpse of what we can expect in episode 14.
In episode 14, we're going to talk about justice and injustice, and is there forgiveness?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Episode 14. We can't wait to hear it. Thank you. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for this episode. We thank you, Lord, that the authority of the believer is a place that we have been given by you as a delegated seat to be able to speak against what is going on in this natural world, to be able to bind and loose, to be able to stand on your word and allow your word to flow through us to those that we meet. We are ambassadors for you here on this earth. We have the authority to bind and loose both in heaven and on earth. We have that authority because of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that in these last days, we will continue to exercise that authority, to bind and loose, to cast out spirits, Lord God. We will stand in the place of where your son, Jesus Christ, was on this earth. Your word says in 1 John 4:17, that as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
We do not stagger at your promise through unbelief. That's what you say in your word. And that's what we stand on.
Amen.
I think that everyone that listens to this episode is now encouraged in the fact that they have authority as a believer, They don't have to succumb to what they see in this natural world and yield to the pressures, to the forces of the enemy. They can stand up. They can fight back using the authority they've been given. And Father, as we continue in this series, we will be used by you to help equip our listeners in this authority, to understand what that is and then how to fight. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you hear our prayer. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your risen personal Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.